If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today, I need you girls to let me vent. I don't know if you saw the TikTok I just put out. I actually just did that right before I recorded this, so I am having a day right now. By the time you hear this, it might be a few days later, so I don't know if there will be an update by now, but we will get into an episode shortly. But right now, I got a vent. I am honestly really upset. I'm like really going through it right now because you girls know that For the Girls is my freaking baby. This is my pride and joy. This is my life. I have put my all and everything into this show. I've shared like all of the thoughts I've ever had in the past 3 years. And now a bigger creator, her name is Becca Moore. She has like over 1 million followers on TikTok. She has like almost 500,000 followers on Instagram. Like she has a much, much, much larger audience than me. She decided that she's going to come out with a podcast, not only with the same name, For the Girls, but literally the cover photo, like the artwork of the podcast, is the same as mine. It is her laying in a bed with a vintage phone. I'm sorry, what? I'm like, am I in the Twilight Zone right now? Like, I have never heard of someone being so deliberately, like, I don't even know, disrespectful, I entitled. I do feel like this is the thing I've seen on social media so many times, where I've seen people make videos calling out creators, saying, like, this is my small business, and now this creator with hundreds of thousands of followers came out with the same exact thing, launched the same exact product, came out with the same name, whatever. Like, I've seen that happen so many times, where I feel like these bigger creators, they know something already exists, they take inspo from that thing that already exists, and they think because this is a smaller creator, smaller following, less people know of it, that it'll just get swept under the rug. And it's like, no big deal, because I have the budget. Like, even looking at the photos, like, it sucks. I'm like, I've always loved my photo, but I've never had anything to compare it to. I just think my photo is timeless and clean and classy and whatever. Then, like, I look at hers, and it's a full production with a photographer and editing and Photoshop and her own, like, custom fonts. Like, my picture is an iPhone photo that my friend took of me in Miami, where I slapped a Tezza filter on it to give it some grain, and then I just, like, picked a font on Canva. This was literally the first time I ever used Canva, almost 4 years ago. So, like, obviously now I'm much better in Canva. If I made it today, I would have made it a million times better. But I also, like, don't really care to spend more time or money to make the photo better, because I just always, like, loved it. And now I'm looking at hers and I'm like, great. Mine is, like, the, you know, low budget, or should I say no budget at all, because that picture cost me nothing to make or take, whatever. The low budget, no budget version of hers. I'm like, great. All my hard work, all the effort, everything that I've done and put into this show over the last 3 years just gets to be overshadowed and overpowered by hers, because she clearly has a much bigger audience than me. And that should not be okay. Like, that should not be allowed. Like, I don't care who has the budget and who has the following. I care about integrity. I will not believe that she's never seen my show. I will not believe that she's never seen, you know, my artwork and whatnot. Like, it's just not possible. You don't make a brand, a business, a podcast. You don't start anything without Googling it first to see if anything has the name. If so, what things have this name? Like, of course, For the Girls is a common saying. So there are things with the name and whatnot. It's not like no one on the planet has ever used it and I'm the first person to use this saying. For the Girls is a popular general saying. But when it comes to creating a podcast with the same brand, the same aesthetic, the same demographic, again, she's a much bigger, you know, creator. So it's not, I'm not sitting here being like, we have the same followers. Like, obviously she has a lot more followers than me. We don't share an audience, but girls in their 20s, same interests, same type of, like, content. Like, yeah, there's going to be an overlap. So now, like, if she's pitching brands, you know, for sponsorships, I'm pitching brands for sponsorships. She's pitching, you know, guests and podcasts for podcast swaps. I'm pitching guests and brands for pod swaps. Like, I'm sorry, you can't tell me that that's normal. It's, like, literally not normal. All she had to do was one Google search, which I'm sure as hell she did, because again, you don't start a brand without doing that, and my show will come up. I have over 2 million downloads. I have hundreds of reviews. I have thousands of ratings. I have 140 episodes. I personally have been on a lot of podcasts. So even searching For the Girls, like, not only will my show come up, but even, like, my podcast swaps will come up, because For the Girls is, like, written in the title. So the SEO circulates, the YouTube comes up, the Instagram comes up. I just tested it on my desktop, both of my phones. I'm having other people look it up. Like, my show comes up, my photo comes up, everything comes up. Not to mention that there was mutual people that we follow on Instagram. I don't follow her, so I didn't see that or know that, but a lot of my audience sent me her picture, like, you know, when she posted about it, and then a lot of girls said to me, like, you guys actually have mutuals. And so when I looked to see who those mutuals were, One was a podcast that I did a swap with. So she was on my show, I was on her show. She has very much posted about For the Girls. Okay, the girl Becca follows her. And then another one is someone who does press for the Girls. Doing press, I'm her client, has also very much posted For the Girls. So, like, aside from the Google search, you follow people who promote. Like, there's just, I'm sorry, there's no possible way. And then the photo, the icing on the cake, the bed photo with the vintage phone, is this for real? So I just made a TikTok talking about it. I don't know what necessarily my next steps are going to be, but I will definitely be trying something. I am in the works of looking into what I can do about this because, again, it's not normal. Like, I just can't accept that. It's annoying and I'm stressed, and as you can tell, I'm going through it right now, but I'm going to try to do something about this. I have to, because my podcast is my baby and I am going to protect it. But at the end of the day, like, I'm here for you girls, and that's why I'm showing up, and that's why I continue to show up rain or shine, no matter what I have going on. So I am going to power through the episode. I'm not going to let it ruin my day, ruin my week, and ruin my episode, but I'm gonna do my best because I do have something on my mind that is, you know, bothering me. With all of that being said, yes, I am going to get into the episode now, I promise. Thank you for listening to my vent session. I just had to rant about all that. Before we do move forward, I just kindly ask that if you have not yet reviewed this show or rated this show wherever you listen to podcast, please do. It would mean the absolute world to me and it would help so much. So if you listen on Spotify, you can leave 5 stars and then you can leave a review per episode that you listen to. So if you listen to this one or any other episode, you could go specifically to the episode and it'll ask you, what did you think about this episode? Leave a review there. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, again, you could leave 5 stars, but you can't leave a review per episode. You just leave a review on the show as a whole. So you'd scroll all the way down, type out a general review about my show, and I would just appreciate that more than anything. Like I said, it'll be really, really helpful right now. But in any case, this was a requested episode, so I was excited to put this one out, excited to share everything I have for you girls. I got a DM recently from someone who's like, I'm a new listener, but I'm starting from the beginning. I like went all the way from episode 1 and I'm working my way up, and I made my way to your episode, like 5 things you need for a hot girl summer. And this might have been 2022. I don't think it was last year. I feel like it was a 2022 episode. So it was an old one. And she was like, I really loved it. I would love if you put out like a new updated version of, you know, that sort of episode, like as we're getting, you know, summer is here now. And so as we're getting, you know, into our hot girl summer vibes, like would totally love a new one. So I thought it was a great suggestion. And now without further ado, your 2024 Hot Girl Summer Guide is here. I got 10 things and we're gonna talk like internal, external, covering a little bit of everything and just simply what you need to have a hot girl summer. And you don't have to be single to have a hot girl summer, okay? I'm not really necessarily giving like single girl advice. You can have a boyfriend, because I have a boyfriend and I'm gonna have a hot girl summer. You can have a fiance, you can have a husband, a wife, whatever, a girlfriend, all of the above. You can be in a relationship for 40 years and still have a hot girl summer, okay? So let's get right into it. First things first, what you need to manifest your entire hot girl summer in the first place is confidence. And I know that sounds like, okay, basic, but no, I mean, I really, really, really want you to embody a confidence like you never have before. I want that confidence to be there when you walk in the room, when you meet new people, when you have conversations, when you post on social media, with everything you do, and not some fake it till you make it type of vibe. I always say, I hate the saying fake it till you make it. What I like to say, the saying I always opt for instead, is face it till you make it. And face it till you make it means being authentic, being vulnerable, not being afraid to mess up, being able to have that confidence to say, like, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm gonna go for it anyway. Like, that's confidence. The whole fake it till you make it vibe is like, I'm gonna pretend I know what I'm doing. I'm going to act like I feel great about this and I'm just gonna fake it. And to me, like, that is so inauthentic, and that makes it really hard to actually embody confidence, because that's just like trying to figure out what's the right thing to say, the right thing to do. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to say do the wrong thing. Like, no, if you can embody the mindset of I only want what wants me, everything I want wants me back, you're good. Even if you're lost, even if you're confused, even if you don't know what you're doing, you girls know I have been preaching. Even before this podcast was launched, I've been preaching for 4 years now. I only want what wants me. Actually, I may have been preaching it for like 5 years, because I remember it being the caption to a picture I posted when I was in Aruba. So I'm trying to think of when that was, but it was like a long time ago. I definitely think it was before my podcast came out. And I was like, repeat after me, girls. I only want what wants me. And everyone was commenting, you know, repeating after me. So it's been a long time. So if you've been following me, if you've been listening to me, then you know how important that saying is. Have you embodied it yet? Have you mastered that mindset yet? Because if not, do it now. This is your time to really channel that. I only want what wants me. Everything I want wants me back, so I don't fear rejection. I'm not afraid to say that I'm starting something new and I'm nervous about it. I'm not afraid to mess up. I'm not afraid to take messy action. Like, this is what confidence is. And when you walk in a room, have that energy about you. Make eye contact with people. Don't get scared if, like, someone makes eye contact with you and you're like, oh my God, let me quickly look away. Maintain that eye contact. Hold that eye contact. As a matter of fact, smile if they catch you looking. Wave if they catch you looking. Say hi, how are you if they catch you looking. Don't get nervous like, oh my God, I just awkwardly made eye contact with that guy or whatever. Like, who cares? Embody that confidence. Everything I want wants me back. So what's the big deal if, you know, he doesn't match my energy? Okay, that's on him. That's not on you. Maintain your energy. And that'll translate through your body language, your conversational skills, the way you carry yourself. That is really, really important. And what's also really important is that you love the way you look on a daily basis. Because I think, you know how they always say, like, when you look good, you feel good. Like, I know a lot of people always think, like, confidence comes from within and whatnot. And obviously, it absolutely does. But you can't tell me that you don't see a difference in the way you feel based on how you look. Like, if your hair is dirty, you got no makeup on, you're in baggy clothes, you're feeling like you're looking like a mess, like, you're not gonna feel all that hot. You're not gonna feel confident, badass, whatever. As opposed to, you wash and blow out your hair. You don't even need a full face of makeup, but maybe you have like that no makeup makeup look. You have some nice tinted moisturizer on, a little bit of skincare. You're wearing a pretty outfit that looks good on you. Like, you have your nice scented perfume on. You're gonna feel like that bitch, okay? So love the way you look on a daily basis. Make sure when you go places, when you do things, that you look in the mirror and you like what you see. And if you don't, then you need to work on that. First things first, internally. Let's get that mindset in check first. But second of all, yes, externally, because you can identify what feels off to you. It's as simple as that. What needs a change? You might not need a full makeover. You might not need a head-to-toe change, but look in the mirror and see what you like. Like, you know, identify what you like, what you see, and then identify what you don't. And make those minor changes based on those certain things that you're like, I'm feeling a new hairstyle, or I'm feeling getting a lash lift, or I'm feeling, like, whatever the case is. Pay attention to those things. Don't be afraid to do them. Don't be afraid to invest in them. Because if it's going to make you feel confident, if it's going to make you feel good about yourself, then you have nothing to lose. Go for it. But also make note that, like, sometimes, yes, less is more, okay? You don't need to make a ton of effort to be confident, you know? So don't do too much. I always say, like, you could definitely do too much, but you could never do too little. you don't need to make a ton of effort. You don't need to go above and beyond. You don't need to do the most all the time. You don't need to be looking at other people's stuff and comparing yourself to them and seeing what they have that you don't have. Like, you don't need to be doing any of that, okay? So just pay attention, be real with yourself, be honest with yourself, and, you know, do what needs to be done, but don't do the extras. Like, take it from me. Been there, done that. I've done, like, every cosmetic treatment, every this and that, and now I have literally removed all my fillers. I've removed my hair extensions. I've taken off my eyelash extensions. Like, I literally just wash my hair and wash my face now and call it a day. So trust me, you don't need to be doing the most to feel great. Do you struggle to find comfort in your body? Do you experience cravings, bloating? If so, then you need Hormone Harmony, the solution for women of all ages to maintain optimal hormone levels. It reduces bloating and discomfort and supports your mood and general well-being. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in the reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code FORTHEGIRLS for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And the last thing I want to say with confidence is to get better at accepting compliments. Because honestly, people are complimenting us on a daily basis, but a lot of us don't let ourselves hear it. We don't let ourselves accept it. It's like we got to downplay everything. We want to be modest. We don't want to be, you know, cocky. Every time someone compliments anything, it's like, oh my God, no, please. Like, everyone loves to downplay compliments on themselves because they really struggle with accepting them and receiving them, whether it's the way that they truly believe about themselves or they just think like, I don't want to sound bad by saying thank you. It's like, you know, when in Mean Girls, when she says to her, when Regina George says to her, or someone says to Lindsay Lohan's character, like, you're really pretty. And she goes, thank you. And then I think it was Regina George that then says back to her, like, so you agree? You think you're really pretty? And like, it's true. Like, everyone like always had that kind of mindset where like, if you say thank you, it's like weird. Like, you got to turn around and be like, oh, no, I'm not. You're so much prettier. Like, no. Don't get into a compliment battle. Don't deny and downplay compliments that are given to you. Accept them. The more you accept them, the more you believe them. The more you believe them, the better you feel about yourself. The more you love yourself. And the more you'll actually say, like, yeah, I do look great. Or yeah, I did do a great job at that. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with being proud of yourself, being happy with yourself, feeling good about yourself. You should feel that way. You should be aware of how great you are. So get better at just simply saying thank you. I challenge you girls to that. The next time that someone compliments you in any capacity, it doesn't have to be looks. It could be on your work. It could be on literally anything that you've done. Just simply say thank you. Number two, romanticize your life. Okay, this is about dating yourself. Again, stuff I've always said, date yourself first. And this could be in like the smallest little ways, but romanticizing your life is probably the best thing you can do for your mental health on a daily basis. Making yourself like see those little things as great things. Like see the things that get overlooked as just like, oh, I'm on autopilot mode. This is just what I do every day, as something great. Whether it's like you go, you know, you drink coffee. Instead of going to the drive-thru of Starbucks, go to a cute coffee shop and like actually sit and have your drink in there, or even work. Like if you got girls work from home, you could work from like your laptop and go somewhere, like again, work from a cute coffee shop, or go work at a nice like little lunch spot, a cafe, a co-working place, whatever the case is. Just like get out of your house. You're still working, but there's a difference between working in your home in your pajamas versus getting out of the house, feeling good, like I said, like loving the way that you look, taking your laptop, having a good drink or a little treat or lunch, whatever, and working from there. That's taking something you already do and then romanticizing it. That's taking something you already do and making it feel better. And then speaking of getting out of the house more and, you know, going to things like that, go on solo lunch dates. They are just like the best. Like you clear your mind, you get out of the house, you get your to-do list ready. Like you could take yourself on solo dinner dates too. Like I always have done that. But the thing that I like about doing lunch is like it's during the day. It's like it's bright out. Like you're not having to get all like dressed up. You could just be in like your shorts and sneakers. Like it just, you may feel more organized and you could like sit at lunch and like write your notes and, you know, again, get your to-do list together, get organized, figure out like what you got to do for the rest of the week. Again, things that you're already doing on a daily basis. I mean, I make my to-do list every day for the week, but now you're romanticizing those things instead. Also with romanticizing, how I mentioned like, you know, love the way you look on a daily basis. I love getting fully like dressed and done up for no reason, like just to run my errands, just to get out of the house, sometimes just to like film a TikTok video, because like, yeah, I make TikToks a lot with no makeup on, in my pajamas, whatever, but sometimes like I will like get myself all ready, go sit in the car, make a TikTok, and I'm like, yes, I feel so much better about that one. Or sometimes I'm like running errands, going grocery shopping, you know, stopping at the bank, the post office, whatever, and I just feel more put together. Like, have you ever like gone out and like looked around and you're like, oh my God, I feel like I don't want anyone that I know to see me right now. Like I look like such a bum. Like sometimes, yeah, we are just running out. If we need something quick from the grocery store while we're in the middle of making dinner, so we're running to get the heavy cream and you're not necessarily getting dressed, but you're like, I hope no one sees me. On those days where I get myself together, I'm like, I hope someone does see me because I look freaking good right now. And lastly, with romanticizing your life, really, really, really embrace your feminine energy and allow yourself to receive more and allow yourself to relax more and to just feel really confident and comfortable just being and, you know, enjoying the flow, the natural flow of life and letting things come as they may and leave as they may. Get rid of your need to control, get rid of your attachment to certain outcomes and certain things that, you know, are stressing you out, and just say what's meant to be will be. Again, I only want what wants me. Everything I want wants me back. And really, really let yourself just receive. Receive, again, compliments, receive gifts, receive words, receive help. A helping hand, like this is really, really, really big with feminine energy, because a lot of girls are stuck, super stuck in their masculine energy, and they do everything on their own and they never ask for help. They don't want to bother anyone. They'd rather just do it themselves. For once, ask for help, or allow, you know, permit someone to give you help if they offer it, whatever the case is. Allow yourself to just not have to be so tough all the time and strong all the time, because sometimes we don't want to be. Sometimes as women, we want to feel like women. As girls, we want to feel like girls. We don't want to always have to be in that masculine energy and be really tough and strong 24/7. There's a time and a place. And when it comes to certain things that someone can offer you help on, don't be afraid to accept it. Accept it. It doesn't make you any less than. It doesn't make you weak. It makes you nice and calm in your feminine energy and feeling like a feminine woman who just gets to appreciate life and the natural flow of it. Number three, listen to your body and take care of your body. These are like the biggest, honestly. This could have been number one, but we need to really cherish our body for what it is. Like, our body is a temple. Our body is the thing that gets us through life. Like, baseline, forget like all like the mental stuff and all like the woo-woo things, like just baseline surface level life. How grateful should we be for our bodies? Like, it is the thing that gives us our mobility. And I think because that's something so obvious, that makes it so overlooked, and therefore we take it for granted. And so we don't treat our bodies with kindness 100% of the time. We don't listen to our bodies 100% of the time. We don't take care of ourselves 100% of the time. Like, we may do our best, but, and then sometimes, listen, sometimes doing your best is enough. Sometimes giving 10% is your 100%, because I know everybody goes through different struggles and mental health issues and whatnot. And so with that, sometimes you can't give 100%. Sometimes your best efforts is doing just a little bit. Sometimes it is doing the absolute bare minimum. So I definitely understand that. But what I really want to focus on with this, with the listening to your body and taking care of your body, is when it comes to intuitive eating and resting. So when it comes to intuitive eating, this is something that I have been really trying to prioritize, which is, if you've never heard of like that saying, if you're like, what the fuck is intuitive eating? It's simply eating when you're hungry and not eating when you're not hungry. Like, truly listening to your body. Sometimes I wake up in the morning starving. I'll make myself breakfast. Sometimes I wake up in the morning not hungry at all, but I would still eat anyway, because you just think, okay, I woke up, I'm awake, I have to eat breakfast, I have to eat something now. Or throughout the day, I work from home, I'm sitting and recording this podcast. The amount of times that when I'm bored, when I'm just sitting here staring at the screen, I get up wanting to move around, I go to the fridge, I go to the pantry, I take a snack, even if I'm not hungry, just because I know it's there. Or like, say I went grocery shopping the day before and I got new snacks or something. I'm sitting here working and I know, ooh, I just got those salt and vinegar chips. I'm not hungry. I'm not craving anything right now, but I know that they're there. So now I get up and I go and I have them. That is not really being kind to our body. We have to be stronger than that. It's not to say to restrict yourself, not at all. Please don't do that. I literally just had a whole episode about not restricting yourself. It's just simply about listening to your body. So, for example, I don't remember which day it was, but my boyfriend and I, we had a long drive home. So we were like, oh, let's stop at Dunkin' Donuts to get like a drink. I wanted iced tea, he wanted a coffee, whatever. And when we got to the drive-thru, we found out it was like National Donut Day or Free Donut Day, whatever it was, when you buy a drink. So they gave us two donuts. I truly was not hungry. But on any other day, I would have eaten the donut because they gave it to me. It smells great. It looks great. It's enticing. How could I pass this up? I have no, willpower? I'm handed a freaking donut, a glazed donut. What is more gorgeous than that? But this is when like I really started to try to prioritize my like intuitive eating and whatnot. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to eat it because honestly, I don't want it. If I wanted it, I would have it. I'm not restricting myself from donuts. I'm not restricting myself from sweets and treats and snacks. Like, I love a snack. I love a donut. But if I don't want it in that moment, I don't have to have it. And I know this might sound like, wow, groundbreaking. You're not hungry, so you don't eat. But it's so much easier said than done. I don't know about you guys, but for me, even like if I'm with someone and they have fries on their plate and I'm totally full, like say I'm out to lunch or out to dinner, I'm totally full. I ate my meal. I don't want any more food, but they have fries left on their plate. I'm like, shit, I'm eating the fries. I'm not hungry. I just ate a full meal. I don't need them, but they're in front of my face. I see them. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go for the fries. I'm really trying to stop doing that. Because if my body is not telling me I'm hungry, then I need to stop listening to my brain, to my head, saying, eat the fries, go for it. And then the same thing with rest and getting out of the house and stuff like that. So with rest, this is a big one for me. I feel like I've said this in so many episodes, especially episodes where I talk about like self-care and whatnot, because I just really, really like wholeheartedly believe in this. And I want to preach this forever and ever and ever, because I want to make sure that every girl hears me talk about this. Like if you haven't heard me say it in the past, then I'm going to bring it up again on another episode. Because if you're a new listener now, I want to make sure you hear this. We have to allow ourselves rest. If we are tired, if we're getting a headache, if we're getting a migraine, we need to just step away from the computer, step away from the phone, just sit down for a little bit and let our body rest. Please do it. Stop feeling guilty if you are not productive 100% of the time. Stop telling yourself, I didn't earn this rest. You don't need to earn rest. If your body is tired, rest. Existing is enough of a reason to allow yourself time to rest. We are human beings. We need to let our body relax. We do not need to be on robot mode, autopilot mode, all day long, never stopping, telling ourselves that we have not earned a break. Girl, take that break. Take that nap. Sometimes, because I do work from home and I sit at the computer all day, I have a migraine. And there might be a few more things on my to-do list, but I'm like, you know what? If it's not urgent, if it doesn't need to be done right this second, I could go take an hour break or even a half hour. That could be enough. And then I'll do this later. Or even, you know what? I'm going to just step away from the computer for the rest of the day because, again, it's not due today. It's not urgent today. So I will do it tomorrow. Whatever the case is, doing that and allowing myself that time to rest has taken care of me more than anything else. Because if you've been listening to For the Girls for a while, then you've definitely heard my podcast from years ago. Or if you've been following me on Instagram for a while, then you've definitely seen my content from years ago. Like, I was a hustler. And I had that mindset of like, rest means unproductive and unproductive means bad. And I was super guilty when I would do things like that. I wouldn't even let myself sit and watch Netflix because I'm like, spending hours watching Netflix is taking hours away from doing something more productive. Like, it was such a toxic mindset. And I'll just never stop talking about this because I want every girl to realize, like, if I could overcome that, if I could, you know, change my mind from that, trust me, you can too. And aside from rest, also the thing about like taking care of our body is getting out of the house more and going on walks. I say it like this, either make sure you do 10,000 steps a day, or if you don't do like 10,000 steps throughout the day, at least just go on a 1 hour walk. You might not complete 10,000 steps in the hour. I feel like you might. I feel like 10,000 steps in an hour walk might be like, you know, pretty equal, but don't stress the number. 10,000 steps a day is if like you're on your feet, you work, you know, out, you like you're walking around, you go to the gym, whatever. Again, I work from home. I'm sitting at the computer all day, so I'm not doing that. I'm only walking around my, 1,000 square foot apartment. I am not naturally getting in 10,000 steps throughout the day. So I do make the effort to do that. I do try to get in 10,000 steps a day, so I will go on a walk. Sometimes I only have time for a 1 hour walk, and to me, that's good enough. As long as I get in my hour, I really don't stress if I don't hit the full 10,000, but either way, like, you will never regret moving your body, even if it's a little bit, even if you're not a big weightlifter, even if you're not running on the treadmill, even if you're not a big gym girly, like, it's the summer now, just get out of the house and go for a walk. You will truly never regret it. You will never be like, oh, I wish I didn't go on that walk. Like, getting outside will make you feel good. Taking that nap, taking that rest will make you feel good. Like, these things will make you feel good. So listen to your body and take care of your body. It's truly the best thing you could do for yourself. And number four, this is kind of a related tip. It is to get dessert with every meal when you go out to eat. Unless you genuinely don't want it. If you like, I really, really, really don't want dessert, fine. But I do think that it goes with that like romanticizing your life vibe. Like, I just feel like having a sweet treat at the end of every meal literally makes people happier. I'm not kidding. I don't know what it is. Well, maybe I do know what it is. Maybe it's the sugar. But I just feel like it completes every meal. It makes everyone happier. Again, if you really don't want it, then obviously don't have it. But if you do want to have it in mind, you're like, I really want to get dessert with every meal, then don't eat your meal per se until you're so stuffed that you won't have it. You know, like for me, I'm always like, all right, I'm going to save a little bit of room. Even if my dish was great, it's like, all right, I'm going to, you know, not have like these last two bites because I want to save it to have dessert so that I'm not like totally full first. Because like sometimes I really, really want dessert. If you girls know me, you know how much I love tiramisu. I cannot wait to go to Italy so I can have tiramisu there again. But in any case, like I'm always talking about tiramisu. It is literally my favorite dessert ever. And there have been times where like we've gone to Italian restaurants and I go out so excited to have it. And then like my dinner is so good. I literally stuff my face, fill myself to the brim, and then I can't have dessert and I'm like so upset and I go home and I'm so sad. I'm like, fuck, I was just so full. Like I would have ordered it, but I know I wouldn't be able to eat it because I can't eat when I'm like so full like that. So that's a little tip, is to just let yourself indulge in some dessert. And if that requires skipping the last few bites of your meal to make room for it, do it. But I just think having that sweet treat at the end of your meal will make you so happy, because it definitely does for me. Tip number five. This is a really good one. I work on this a lot with my clients in coaching. It is to identify your limiting beliefs and combat them. This is going to be really big this summer. If you are going to go into it with that confident energy, it's really time that you're able to call yourself out on your own shit and say like, these are what my limiting beliefs are. This is where I'm small-minded. This is where my scarcity mindset comes in. Pay attention to what they are, identify what they are, and then practice overcoming them. So what I want you girls to do, you could imagine this in your mind or you could write it down and like put it in your journals, which I think is like the best thing that you could do so you can make it a lot more tangible. I want you to imagine like a flow chart kind of thing in the shape of a circle, and it's four parts. So top, and then it goes down, and then it goes down to the bottom, and then it goes like up to this next side, and then that connects back to the top. So literally in a circle, point one, two, three, four. At the very top of the circle is gonna be where you are right now. So you're literally writing these words or envisioning these words. At the top, where you are right now. Then with the arrow down to the side comes next your belief system. That's point number two. And then point number three, you're gonna have an arrow pointing to that. It's gonna be the actions you take. And then you're going to put the arrow up to the next side of the circle. And it's going to be part number four, the results you get. And then you're going to draw a line from the results you get up to the top again, where it says where you are right now. And you're literally imagining a circle, like a cycle, okay? Where you are right now leads to your belief system, leads to the actions you take, leads to the results you get, and the results you get lead to where you are. And then from there, you want to kind of fill out that flow chart, like I said, and reflect on it and question yourself about it and ask yourself like, okay, so what beliefs are holding me back? Like, what actually are my limiting beliefs? And then from there, you question, are these original beliefs that I came up with, or have they been influenced by somebody or something? Like, did somebody bring these beliefs upon me? Was this from trauma, from a relationship, from a friendship, from a family dynamic? Was it your upbringing? Was it your parents? Was it the comparison game and social media? Like, where did these limiting beliefs come from? Is it yourself, your own mind, your own heart, your own feelings? Or have they been influenced by others? And they very much may have been influenced by others directly or indirectly. It's not always as straightforward as like, okay, let's pretend your limiting belief is like, I'm dumb. I'm dumb, I'm ugly, I suck, whatever. Maybe it's not that somebody outright said to you, you're dumb, you're ugly, you're stupid, whatever, you're not great. But maybe they made you feel that way. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's the way that somebody spoke to you or the way that somebody treated you. And then, like, it started to trigger certain feelings within you. So really, really dig deep when you're doing this and really try to identify where these beliefs came from and now how you could overcome them. So you could ask yourself a bunch of questions about this. You could journal dump like about this, like just like brain dump and feeling dump. Like you might just have so many things come up for you and you might just like not even be paying attention, but your pen is just going, going, going because all this stuff is coming out. So it might be that like that direction might be easier for you, or asking yourself really intentional questions and like journal prompts might be great for you. So you could always look up journal prompts. You could search even on Pinterest, like journal prompts, whatever comes up for you that you like, go for it. Or a few questions that I like to also ask my clients would be, how are these beliefs harmful? In what ways are they harmful to you? Why does this limiting belief exist? Why do you feel like you may not attain your vision? Are these beliefs true? Most important question, are these beliefs true? Because sometimes we know they're not true, but we can't help but feel that way anyway. So being able to tangibly say, no, these beliefs are not true, is very, very powerful. I want you to be able to say that out loud. I want you to be able to write it down. Are these beliefs true? And then the last question would be, okay, so what am I going to do to make a change? What needs to change? How am I going to make a change? And be able to come up with a plan, a real like external plan or an internal plan. How is this going to be my hot girl summer? How am I going to overcome these limiting beliefs in time to embody like major, major confidence this summer? What needs to change? What am I going to do to make this change? Tip number 6, you're going to identify your 10 life pillars and come up with goals for each. And you're gonna do a reflection on them as a whole. You're gonna reflect on each of the 10 individually. And you wanna be able to journal about this as well, because you're doing your reflecting and you wanna be able to identify, how do I practice self-care in these ways? Or do I not? How do I not practice self-care in these ways? So if you're gonna journal about this, similar to how you made like your cycle, like your little circular flow chart thing with the limiting beliefs, you're gonna do the same thing now with your wheel of life. That's what we're gonna call these pillars. It's gonna look like a pizza. So it's 10 parts. So you're gonna make a circle and then put like lines through it so that you have 10 little like triangle things that look like a pizza pie, essentially. And you're gonna like label each little sliver, each little slice as each one of the pillars. All right, so we have 1, fitness, 2, career, 3, health, 4, spirituality, 5, finances, 6, personal goals, 7, family and friends, 8, fun and social life, 9, romance, and 10, hobbies and fulfillment. So that's how you want to write your circle. And then you're going to evaluate. And you want to look at it as like each part of your life, each current situation of your life, and identify how you feel about where you are in each of those areas. So what can you do to increase your satisfaction in those specific categories? Or are you completely satisfied? Like, you might rate one of those things as like a 10 out of 10. You might say, I am really, really satisfied with my fitness and health, but not my career and finances, or vice versa. I'm really satisfied with my career and finances, but I really don't make any time for fun, social life, family, friends, hobbies. Like, really pay attention and don't just like be hard on yourself and try to find only ways you could get better at everything, because in some areas you might be completely satisfied. So pay attention to find out where you need to increase your satisfaction, where you are satisfied. Ask yourself questions like, how do I feel about these results? Are these results like what I expected them to look like? Or am I surprised? Like, did I think I was higher in these areas, like more satisfied, higher rating? Or am I like, yeah, I am pretty below average in these areas? Which areas do you believe need the most work? And why? Why are you low in the like certain areas? Why are you slacking in certain areas? What goals do you have in each of those? You know, come up with even small goals. It doesn't have to be just big goals, little goals, short-term goals, long-term goals, huge goals, whatever. And then identify which ones take the priority, because you're not going to work on every single thing at once. So which goals are you working toward now? Which ones are the priority? Which ones do you want to start working on today, this week, this month, this quarter, this year? Everything is going to be different. That's how you're going to balance your life. I feel like I always reference this podcast episode because I just loved it, but I had these two sisters come on. I think that they're twins. They came on my show. Their podcast is called Girls with Balance, and we talked about balance, and they were saying like they like to balance their goals not by what they're doing on a weekly basis, but what they do throughout the year. So like say that, you know, they have a goal of finances, like increasing their finances, traveling a lot, and, you know, health and wellness and whatnot. They might not be balancing all three of those things perfectly all year long, like on a daily and weekly basis, but they might be spending 1 month focused on traveling, 1 month focused on, you know, increasing their business opportunities and whatnot. Like they, as long as they get done what they want to get done throughout the year, then they're satisfied. Because at the end of the day, life is a balancing act, and it's not always going to be easy to work on goals, like all your goals, on a daily basis. So really try to balance them out on a bigger scale rather than on that small daily scale. And then when it comes to those goals, ask yourself, what action steps am I going to be taking starting now to achieve those goals? What are my plans starting now to achieve those goals? And then again, ask yourself, how do I plan to balance those action steps on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis, whatever the case is? So make sure you're also asking yourself which areas you plan to prioritize the most, like which you have little things to work on and which you have big things to work on. And then with that, you could also ask yourself, what changes in particular would get me different results? What changes in particular would get me my desired result? Would one particular change today get me those different results? Whatever it is, say that you want to grow on social media and you're not doing anything, you're not posting daily, you're not getting your content out there. Would one particular change today get you different results? Yeah, putting out your content, posting on social media. So like those sort of things. So that's like the action step. Like, okay, so the posting on social media is the action step. And then the growing on social media is the goal. So you want to like try to put those things together. And remember, confidence is a byproduct of action. So you need to take the action first and then get confident. Don't try to get confident first and then take action. You got to do it the other way around. And then the last but most important question to ask is, what would your ideal wheel of life look like to you and feel like for you? What are the results that you desire? You know, you're looking at these 10 life pillars, and how overall would you feel content? And also, before we go into the next one, when it comes to like the fun and social life, the hobbies and fulfillment, really try to align that with summer, because obviously this episode is in regards to Hot Girl Summer, and you're going to have all different hobbies and fulfillment and fun and social life and all different things, you know, as the seasons change. So for now, really try to align that with the summer. Like during the next couple of months, what would fun look like for you? What would a social life look like for you? What sort of hobbies do you want to have? What would bring you fulfillment during the summer months? These things will definitely change in the winter. Certain things might stay the same all year long. Like if you're thinking, okay, what does this have to do with Hot Girl Summer? It's like really the things that are like exclusive to right now. Because when it comes to spirituality, that will probably never change. You're going to have your beliefs all year long. When it comes to your finances and career, you're going to want to maintain that the same way all year long. When it comes to, you know, your fitness and health, again, all year long. But then like the certain things like your personal goals might change throughout the year. And then again, that fun and hobbies and all that, like that all might change throughout the year. So really try to make that as like seasonal as possible and as like, you know, niche to summer as you possibly can. Now let's go on to tip number 7. Figure out what clothes are flattering and comfortable for you and then outfit repeat. And like try to put together different outfits based on those specific things. So like find your timeless pieces and get rid of what you don't love. Like for me, I got rid of all my high-waisted bikinis. And honestly, I really want to start getting rid of like high-waisted jeans and whatnot too. I've just done a big jeans closet clean out because your girl gained a little bit of weight and jeans are very hard to fit in when you go up a size or two. But for me, like I have a short torso. And so I feel like I always wore things really high-waisted because I'm like, ooh, it covers my pouch, it covers my stomach. Like, I love high-waisted. But as I've gotten older and I'm becoming more aware of my body and I'm paying more attention to my body, I'm like, my torso is so short that I don't like the way high-waisted things look on me because it makes me look even shorter. You would think that, okay, I don't really have like the greatest stomach in the world that I would want to cover it and never wear anything low-rise, but I actually feel that low-rise things flatter me more because, again, I'm short. I'm 5'2 to begin with, and honestly, neither of my things are long. You know, some people are like, I have long legs but a short torso, or I have a long torso but short legs. I have neither. I'm short all around. And so I used to have a bunch of high-waisted bikinis, and then when I would put them on, I felt like I was wearing a freaking diaper. Like, it just was so not flattering on me. So I got rid of that, and I got myself more timeless things. One pieces and bikinis that just flatter my body, that are not necessarily trendy, that they're never going to go out of style. And then same thing with my wardrobe. I got, if you guys know, I have like my closet Instagram, Victoria Alario Closet, on Instagram, where you could like shop my stuff. And most of my things are very high quality, hardly worn. A lot of things have tags on them. A lot of things are brand new, but it's as simple as like me trying things on and realizing it's not that comfortable on me. It's not that flattering on me. So I'd rather have a smaller wardrobe of timeless, high quality pieces that I feel really good about myself in. And a lot of people are always looking for good brands, and I would say two good brands for high quality, timeless pieces that will honestly never go out of style but are also affordable would be Quince and Naked, which is NA-KD. I would consider them to be very affordable, a good price point for what you're getting. I think a lot of people just immediately think Shein when they hear affordable, but Shein, I'm sorry, is crap. It's really bad quality. These are actually good brands. And like some things are expensive because when you look at like, you know, the, I went to say ingredients, the materials and whatnot, you'll see that some things are like nicer than others. But for the most part, I got like, I don't know, a wool sweater or a cashmere sweater, whatever it was, from Quince, and it was literally $50. That same sweater from Jenny Kane would be $350. And I love Jenny Kane. I wish I could have a wardrobe full of Jenny Kane, but they're just a lot more expensive. So say maybe I could spend the $350, but I could get four colors from Quince, or I could get one sweater from Jenny Kane. So I'm gonna go with Quince. So those are two brands that I really like that are a little bit on like the lower price point end. And then I also like, which I would say are more expensive, I like Abercrombie, which I do think Abercrombie is a little bit of a higher price point. I know Abercrombie's not like expensive, but sometimes it is. Like, you could definitely get things for like $100 on Abercrombie, like one single item. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's new, I feel. I don't think Abercrombie used to be that expensive, but I also don't remember because it used to be on my parents' card, not mine. They used to do my Abercrombie shopping for me. So maybe it just seems more expensive now that I'm shopping for myself. I also like Banana Republic. Again, a little bit of a higher price point. I feel like I got a pair of jeans that were like $120 from there, but I love them. So not necessarily, the cheapest, but good quality, timeless. I also really like J. Crew. I would say those are three brands that have, or even The Loft. J. Crew and The Loft kind of remind me of each other. Sometimes I like mix the two of them up. Now I actually am not sure which one I like better, if I meant Loft or J. Crew. I don't know. But either way, I do like both of those. So I would say those four are like also good brands, but then a little bit more expensive than Quince and Naked. Number eight actually kind of goes really well with the Wheel of Life. Number eight is about embracing your friendships. So I did mention family and friends, a pillar in there. That is one that I really think this summer should be embraced and emphasized. I think you should get out of the house more, make more plans, make dinner plans, get that dessert with your friends, or even just hang out in the yard and have a wine night or a game night or even like a little painting night. I had my girlfriends over once and I made dinner and then we like painted wine glasses. So that was really fun. We each like had, we kind of did like a little competition just for fun. I like posted it on Instagram. I don't really know why we did that, but it was cute. No feelings were hurt in the making of the wine glass painting competition. You could even go to the beach with your friends. You could do like a daytime beach trip, pack your beach sandwiches. Everybody loves a beach sandwich. Or you could do like a sunset beach trip, pick up some sushi takeout, some pizza takeout, grab a bottle of wine, go hang out at the beach for sunset and have just like a nice little night, or hang out in the park, like whatever. Just hang out with your friends, no matter how low maintenance it is. Even if you guys did nothing, you don't even have to spend money, you don't even have to get food, just go to each other's house or hang out, like I said, at the park, whatever. Just embrace your friendships. Like, let summer feel like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Like, you remember those movies we used to watch where like those movies make it feel like summer? Like, they get together, they hang out, they do things, they show up at each other's houses. Like, that's the kind of vibe I'm talking. Really embrace those girl friendships. I think that's everything. Like, it's great to have your partner, it's great to have your boyfriend or husband or whatever, but having those girl friendships, there is simply nothing like it. These are the people who understand you, they get you. And I don't mean that your partner doesn't, I just mean in a different way, because they can relate, because they go through the same things. You know, they also have their period and go through the same sort of struggles, and with health and feelings and emotions. Like, girls get each other. So really do your part in trying to embrace those friendships and just spend as much time together as you possibly can and have yourself a wholesome summer with your girls. Or if you guys are not wholesome, what's that word everybody uses? Feral? I think that's the word. I'm a little bit older, so I don't really use the feral term, but if you and your friends are some feral party girls, listen, I've been there and done that too. When I was 21, 22, I certainly had my fun. So if you girls are younger and you're like, I don't want a wholesome summer, I want to party, I want to drink, I want to meet guys, whatever, go for it. Go out. This is the only time that you'll ever get to do it in life. This is the youngest you'll ever be. You will not be partying and all that stuff when you're older, when you have kids. So enjoy it now. I do not shame any girls who embrace their youth and go out and have fun and get drunk with their friends. I feel like those are some of the best memories my girlfriends and I have. I have my same group of friends since literally high school, and we were all hanging out recently and we were just like talking about our stories. And oh my God, we have stories for days. We used to go to the club all the time. We would go to the Jersey Shore all the time. Now we're, you know, in a very different phase of life. I feel like it's even hard for us to get together, but when we do get together, we're like grandmas. We're like home in bed by 10 o'clock. But we really do reflect on the best memories of our lives as being like those crazy fun nights. So if that's where you're at in life, go for it. Have your fun, live it up, and have a great summer, especially if you're going to the Jersey Shore. Girl, we grew up at the Jersey Shore. Let me just put that out there. Number 9, we are prioritizing hair health this summer, okay? This might be random, but I feel like I've been making a few TikToks talking about this because I tend to come across a lot of girls who complain about the fact that they have like no volume in their hair, or their hair can't grow and like they have breakage. And I just feel like there's a few little tips that I can share that may help you out this summer, because I think during the summer, a lot of girls don't dry their hair. They air dry their hair, they may sleep on their hair wet, and that's actually not a good thing. Your hair is really, really, really weak when it's wet. I think it's at its like weakest possible stage when it is wet. So you are much more prone to breakage in your hair when it's wet. So if you are going to sleep with your hair wet, it's not good. You're actually going to have a lot more breakage. You're going to see your hair grow less. Just simply not good. You should be drying your hair every single time that you blow dry it. Now, if you really, 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 really do not want to blow dry your hair and you only want to air dry it, okay, that's fine. Just make sure it's fully air dried before you actually lay your head on the pillow and go to bed. And also make sure it's air dried before you put it in a hair scrunchie. Because again, breakage. So let your hair air dry completely down. And then when it's dry, go ahead. You could go to bed. You could put your hair up. Whatever. However, I think blow drying in general is just the better bet. First of all, it is actually better for your hair. It is actually safer for your hair. However, also make sure, of course, you're putting heat protection on your hair. I mean, I've never blow dried my hair or put any sort of hot tool or heat to my hair without putting a heat protection on it first. That's like a given. I always have like a blowout cream or a spray, whatever the case is. But I also wanted to address the whole like volume thing. A lot of girls complain that they have no volume in their hair and they want more volume, and they think the solution is their shampoo or like a treatment. Let me tell you something. If you air dry your hair, nothing is going to give you volume to your hair. You have to blow dry your hair. Blow drying it will add the volume that you're looking for. You could use a volumizing shampoo. You could use a volumizing spray. But if you air dry your hair, it will dry hanging. So it will dry flatter. I mean, me, I don't have the most volume in the world because I don't have a ton of hair. I have like fine hair. I don't really have thick hair, but blow drying it, like when I do blow dry it, my hair has height, my hair has width, and I rarely ever let it air dry. And when I do, my hair legit is flat to my head. I look like flat freaking Stanley, okay? So even for someone with as fine of hair as I have, it still gives me so much more volume by blow drying it. So if that's one of your goals, like you want more volume in your hair, start blow drying. Also, in regards to how I mentioned like sleeping with your hair and whatever, sleep with a satin pillowcase. That is like the best thing you could do for your hair. It's so much more gentle. It's so much safer. And then use big scrunchies if you're gonna put a scrunchie in your hair, not elastic bands, not just like a regular hair tie. Use a big fluffy scrunchie. That's just like the safest way to do it. Also, vitamins, supplements. I recommend Wellbell and I also recommend Nutrafol. I use both. I currently am out of Nutrafol, but I have Wellbell. I kind of go back and forth. I've used Nutrafol a bunch. I've used Wellbell a bunch. I'm currently in the process of using Wellbell. Either one I feel like has helped me. I feel like my hair has gotten a lot thicker, a lot stronger, a lot longer. And a lot of girls want hair growth or hair density and thickness. Get on a hair supplement. I know that there's tons out there. I know that Nutrafol is very expensive. So if that one's too expensive, then do Wellbell. They're both great. So one or the other. But Wellbell, I think, is a lot cheaper. I feel like for a pack, like a 30 pack, like a, not a 30 pack, like a 30 day supply, I should say, for a 1 month supply, Wellbell, I want to say, is $50, and then Nutrafol, I want to say, is $80. So one is definitely cheaper than the other. And then lastly, number 10 is to read a good summer book, a nice, easy read. And I'm going to give you girls some recommendations, but I just think that every girl should have a good summer book that she looks forward to, that she's enjoying, that she falls in love with, that she gets emotionally invested in and connected to. And I feel like that also goes along with point two, like romanticizing your life. Like think about all the romance movies and the rom-coms and the Hallmark movies. I know you girls probably think Hallmark is corny, but I love me a Hallmark movie. They just like, they're always reading a book. They always have a book. There's always like a library scene. There's just always some element of reading involved in these sort of like romance books. And there you go. That's you romanticizing your life right there, walking around, going for a walk with a book in your hand. Like, come on, can you be any more main character energy than that? No, I don't think so. I just finished reading Every Summer After. This was our June book of the month in my book club, Read Between the Wines, and I freaking loved it. I think everybody did. We have not had our meeting yet. We're having it this week, so I don't have everyone's opinions, but everyone read it pretty quickly. Everyone said in the chat, like, oh my God, I can't put this book down. I'm addicted. So we definitely got really invested. If you love a good, like, romance book, like one of those tropes where it's like, you know, friends to lovers sort of things, you gotta read Every Summer After. That's definitely my biggest recommendation because that's the one that I just read right now, and what I'm going to be reading in July is Hannah Brown's book, which is Mistakes We Never Made. I have not read it yet. It is the book that's coming up, but I know that it's a rom-com type of book, so I'm sure that's going to be a really easy read as well. I heard great things about it. I only heard good things, to be honest. I haven't done too much of a deep dive, but I haven't heard anyone saying that they didn't like it. People posted about it that it was a good read. So check out Hannah Brown's book, Mistakes We Never Made. I will let you girls know my opinion next month when I read it. But in any case, check that out for the summer. Another book is It Happened One Summer. Now, I did not get to finish this book. I actually started it accidentally because I thought that that was our book instead of Every Summer After. So I started to read It Happened One Summer. And then I was like, I feel like this is not the book I'm supposed to be reading. So I was like, oh shit, it's not. So I stopped reading it. I mean, I only got in the very beginning. It was fine. There was nothing wrong with it. I just didn't think that it was the book. So I do believe that might be a good summer read. So check that one out as well. Another iconic read, if you have not yet read Colleen Hoover's It Ends With Us, I definitely recommend reading it. I know that the book is polarizing and, you know, maybe some people consider it to be controversial. I don't know. There's so much back and forth because, trigger warning, I guess, people think that it romanticizes domestic abuse and abuse within relationships. I personally, maybe I can't relate to being in that dynamic, but my opinion from reading it is that it shows how real those relationships are and why it is so hard to leave. Because everyone always says if it was so bad, if you were getting abused, why didn't you leave? And to me, this book showcases that because she is with the guy who's charming and good looking and successful and has everything going for him. So all of those things, for a young girl makes you want to stay or think that things will get better. It makes you romanticize the relationship, even though there's something absolutely terrible going on. I know Colleen Hoover said that the book is based on her mom. I don't know if the abuser was her dad or her mom had a different boyfriend, but she based the book on a real situation, on a real experience that her mom lived through and struggled through. And so to me, I don't think it romanticizes abuse. I think it shows the reality of why women stay for too long when they are in, those sort of situations. It's just simply not that easy to leave. And that's my opinion on the book. I could be wrong, again, because I don't relate, but that's how I understood it. I didn't understand it as Colleen Hoover making it as if abuse is a good thing or a sexy thing. Not at all. Just the reality of it. And why I'm recommending people to read it now, even though the book is old, is because the movie is about to come out. The movie comes out in August, so I know everyone's going to be going to see the movie, and I think that you should always read a book before you see the movie if it is a movie. If a book becomes a movie, typically the book is better than the movie. So I don't know, we'll see with this. And then a few more recommendations. Happy Place, I read that in book club. That's definitely a good beach read, a good summer read. Things We Never Got Over, that was a pretty good one. I would say that one was an easy read. Archer's Voice, one of my absolute favorites. I think it's my top two of books that I've read. Again, easy read. You'll get so invested so quickly. It's sexy. There's a lot of good things about it. I know I've mentioned all romance type of books, but if you are not that into romance, but you still want an easy read of something that's thriller, psychological thriller, you got to check out Freida McFadden. I could recommend two of her books, Never Lie and The Inmate. I am not a thriller girl. I'm not even a scary movie type of girl. I'm just, give me romance and that's about it. But the way Freida McFadden writes is very, very, very easy to understand, easy to follow. It's not scary. It's not gory. It's not even creepy, really. It's she does incorporate a love story and all different storylines within the book that just she gives such a crazy twist. And it's a psychological thriller. So it's not thriller scary, but it's psychological thriller mind fucking. And you're holy shit. But again, she's easiest read for beginners, especially if you're not a reader. I think Freida McFadden is a great place to start. if you're not like necessarily looking to read a romance book. But even if you love romance like I do, I think you'll still love hers. And then I'm gonna give one more recommendation, which is a book that I have not read, but I've heard great things about, and I'm thinking about reading it if I am able to squeeze it in this summer, and it's One Italian Summer. Tons of people have read it. I've heard nothing but good things about it. To be honest, I have no idea what it's about, but I'm just putting it out there that I've heard it, like I've heard that be recommended so many times, One Italian Summer. So check that out. Give it a read. Let me know your thoughts. Let me know how it is. Let me know what you think of it, because then I'll probably read it. If you girls tell me I read that book and it was great, I probably will do that. So definitely keep me in the loop. And that is all we have for today. I do ask again to please, 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 if you have not already, leave a review. Rate my show 5 stars. If you listen on Spotify, you can leave 5 stars and you can leave a comment per episode. So if you're listening to this episode, it'll ask you, what did you think of this episode? And you could leave a response there. You can't leave one general review on my show altogether. So whatever episodes you have listened to, please go answer the question box. And then if you listen on Apple Podcasts, you can again leave 5 stars, and then you can leave one general review. You can't leave a review per episode. You have to go on my show on Apple Podcasts and then scroll all the way down, and there will be a review section there. So you could leave your rating and review there. I highly, highly, highly appreciate it. It helps the show so much, and I appreciate any and all support that you girls are willing to give. So thank you girls so much for listening. Until next time, girls.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.